In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, those of you who were in church this week for the Wednesday noon Eucharist, and I know several of you were not, but those of you who were there read together Psalm 133, which says in verse 1, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." I like that. I suspect most of you do too. I think of it often when my two sons are playing nicely with each other. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And I probably like that verse of Holy Scripture better than Matthew 10:35, where Jesus says, "I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Not a Bible verse you find on a lot of greeting cards. One has to wonder what holiday you'd even purchase such a card for. But these two Bible verses put right in front of us a central question about living in relationships and in community, just as we are all doing right here, right now. How important is it that we agree? Does God want us to agree? Now, back in the 1850s, we Episcopalians were really quite agreeable, while other denominations were splitting apart. The Northern Baptists, for instance, thought slavery was a sin, while the Southern Baptists not only did not think slavery was a sin, they were reasonably convinced that it was part of God's plan. The Presbyterians split over the same issue, and so did the Methodists. There's an old joke about when the reunification of these different denominations happened after the Civil War. And after the end of slavery, it took 50 years for the Methodists to reunite. It took 100 years for the Presbyterians to reunite. And the Baptists will reunite when Jesus returns. And we Episcopalians managed to avoid all that. We just agreed that unity was more important than the issue of slavery, so we just didn't talk about slavery very much. So as the question of the sinfulness of slavery tore apart the other churches, the Episcopal Church decided that it was more important to agree than to get into all of that. Now, I suspect that many of us here today, if we were to wake up tomorrow and find ourselves magically transported to a general convention of the Episcopal Church in the 1850s, we might well support or even propose a resolution condemning the practice of slavery, even if it did risk disagreement or division. So how do we answer the question, does God want us to agree? In today's gospel reading, Jesus seems to be saying that God does want that, saying, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. That's a pretty serious endorsement of agreeing with each other. But if that's true, then how do we make sense of what Jesus is asking us when 8 chapters earlier, he says that what matters isn't agreement, but faithfulness to Jesus himself and to his gospel? How important is it that you agree with your parent or sibling or spouse or best friend or fellow parishioner? I think the way that we make sense of this seeming contradiction is to understand that agreement is a wonderful thing. But it's not the only thing. Jesus is saying this morning that when we are able to come to agreement, to make peace, in a sense, that is so wonderful that it has downright heavenly effects. But agreement is not the only thing. Agreeing to avoid the issue of slavery in the 1850s was not necessarily the only way or even the right way. That agreement probably did not gladden the heart of Christ. So we strive for agreement, But what about when we simply don't or can't agree? Because there has been disagreement in the church from the time that the disciples asked Jesus to settle their argument over which one of them was the greatest. St. Paul helps point the way for us, because how we agree, how we disagree rather, is sometimes as important as whether or not we agree in the first place. Paul tells us this morning, owe no one anything except to love one another. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Even when we disagree, we can love one another. I suspect that throughout the course of the Civil War, for instance, there were cases of Christians coming to the aid of their wounded adversaries, even though they profoundly disagreed with them. The gospel is not to agree with all people all the time. The gospel is to love all people all the time. In the last verse of today's reading from Matthew, Jesus says something interesting on that score. He says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. He does not say, when two or three are gathered in my name and agree on every point of theology and public policy, I am there among them. He says that when those who call themselves his followers love each other enough to come together in his name, no matter how much they agree or disagree, he is in the midst of them. We can't always agree with each other, no matter how hard we try. And we should try, very hard indeed. But not agreeing with each other doesn't mean not loving each other. We should love each other, even those who persecute us, Jesus says. Jesus wants us to agree with one another, but he commands us to love one another, just as he loves us. Amen.